A creature alive today has survived millions of years of evolution. It lives to kill. A mindless eating machine that will attack and devour anything. One terrified you like nothing you have ever experienced when it captured your imagination and tapped your fear like no movie before it. Then, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, two continued the legend and spread the fear. Next summer, nature's most terrifying creature takes on an all-new dimension in an all-new adventure. And for the first time, the terror of Jaws will not stop at the edge of the screen. Jaws 3D. The third dimension is terror.
Dearest Mother,
it's that time of year again.
Jaugust is upon us for the third year. And this time around, I'm here to celebrate in the third dimension. I still look back on Jaugust 2020 as a wonderful adventure. Probably the best part of an otherwise shitty year. As much as I enjoyed that month-long celebration of one of the greatest movies ever, I sure as hell do not regret only watching the sequels one time on one day. The celebration of Jaugust continues. But these garbage movies don't deserve more than a day. So until next year, when things get really personal, I just wanted to say hello and happy Jaugust. Your son, Michael. Jaugust 1st, 2022. And you may ask yourself, did this man just make us sift through 5 minutes of clips and music just to talk about Jaws 3D? And yet here we are, and I did just that. Welcome back, everybody. The last time you heard from me was at the end of movie month, about a month ago, which I guess technically is a month and a day ago. But it's been 1 year since last we talked Jaugist. 2 years since the big month-long celebration. Obviously, last year I pulled the plug on it and I said, there's no way I'm watching Jaws 2, Jaws 3, or Jaws 4 every day during a month. It's, and podcasting about it every day, it's fun and hard enough to do it for great movies that you love, like Jaugist and Marty McFly for Jaws and Back to the Future. But to do it for really subpar sequels. And you could say, well, Back to the Future 2 and 3 aren't the same as Back to the Future. No, they're not, but they are much more beloved than the movies that I watched today, that I watched last Jaugist first, and that I will watch next Jaugist first, 2023. Which next year will actually be the 40th anniversary of today's movie. I can't believe that Jaws 3D will be 40 years old next year. And I was thinking about this morning, confession-wise. Like, I think Jaws 3 was, for a while, like the Jaws that I knew the most for a short while. Because I was 7 when this came out. And I remember it was the first Jaws that I remember, like, being in a movie theater. I didn't see it, but I know, like, oh, there's a new Jaws movie and it's in 3D. And to me, 3D was this new cool thing, even though it's been around for years. It seems like every so often there's this 3D renaissance. It happened again with Avatar. And I know there's still 3D out there now, but if for a time everything was in 3D, and in the 80s, they did the same thing. And a lot of the time it was the third movie in a series. So we had Friday the 13th, part 3D in 3D, part 3 in 3D, Jaws 3 in 3D, Amityville Horror, I think 3 was in 3D. Okay, those are the only three I could think of, but I'm sure there's more than that. And I just remember this. I remember it being a Jaws movie. I remember as a kid being in my friend's pool, being afraid of Jaws, but also being big fans of Cindy and Sandy the Dolphins. I don't know why. I don't think I saw this movie I know I didn't see it in the theater. I think my brother did. He would have been 10 or almost 10 when this movie came out. And I think he was able to see it. I definitely was not. I definitely either saw it on regular TV or HBO. And I've seen it a couple times over the years. It is, like, famously bad. Famously bad special effects. Famously bad shark. I feel like this is the worst shark, I think. I remember seeing Jaws the Revenge. That was the Jaws I saw in the theater, unfortunately. But I remember seeing it and thinking, some of these effects are pretty good, and it's all bright and out in the daylight, and it looked nice. I could be wrong. It's been a long time since I've seen that. And I remember seeing some of the behind the scenes and seeing that it was all like in a tank with the sky painted in the background. But it'll be interesting to revisit that next year. I was looking forward to seeing this one because of how bad it was. But also, it's fun to see young Leah Thompson in her first movie, young Dennis Quaid, to see Louis Gossett Jr. in this movie. And, like, for some reason, I always thought that Dennis Quaid's brother, that Sean Brody, was played by one of the egg, what was Bobcat Goldthwait's brother in Summer School, that guy. They're similar, but they're not the same. This guy still, like, if I saw him now, I wouldn't recognize him. He looks obviously he's, you know, almost 40 years older, but he's still acting, still showing up at a bunch of shows. But I, not a household name by any means. And it's like the Brodies are like the Griswold. They're different actors in every single movie. But as I said, this, I was looking forward to it because of how bad it's supposed to be. But here's the thing I'm going to say. The idea of this movie is not, there's something there. The monster, the shark, whatever it is, and you're trapped inside, you know, the shark is in the park and with people in this, and these people use this water, and there's something to that, that is, that there is a good idea there, that if it was done better, that this was directed by Joe Alves, I believe. This is his one and done. This is the only movie he's ever directed. He did production design on the first two Jaws. He was recommended to do this movie. I forget, was it Lorraine Gary who recommended him? I think I read that. And this was his one and done. The shark looked the worst. I think the need to shove 3D into this movie made some of the green screen, some of the underwater, some of the shots look awful. At one point, the shark, the big scary moment is the shark coming slowly to, looks like it's just getting bigger. Like, it's like the George Lucas filming the spaceships by keeping the spaceships in one spot and moving the camera past them and then sticking them in space. Here, it looks like they stick the shark and they just pass the camera by him. But then they have to do this big underwater thing and it just looks awful. I don't think it ever looked good. Like, you know, sometimes you see these things and then 40 years later you see, whoa, that looked really bad, but you didn't think that at the time. I feel like this probably looked terrible at the time. So poor execution, poor special effects. And I think also the fact that it is Jaws, quote unquote, takes away from it. If this was a, you know, if you had it, a whale, well, you know, they did that with Orca, but if you did something where, even a shark, but you don't call Jaws, you don't call the Brodies, you just have a completely standalone movie with another killer shark, yeah, it'll be compared to Jaws, but guess what? You call this Jaws 3D, it's going to be compared to Jaws. So I think that would have, I mean, I don't think it wouldn't have made the movie better because of how it was made. But I think it gives the reputation or makes it worse. If this was a B movie that wasn't called Jaws, I don't think it would have been as ridiculed as it is and as it kind of deserves to be. And another thing that surprises me is that how desperate is SeaWorld for them to say, yes, use our name and, you know, let people know if they come to SeaWorld, there's a chance a shark could get into the lagoon and in eat you. Like, you'd think they'd use a generic name. For some reason, I thought it was a generic, you know, park name to be reminiscent of SeaWorld. But no, it's actually SeaWorld in this movie. Now, I don't think SeaWorld has this underwater world. It says, like, although most scenes in the film were shot in SeaWorld, where the film took place, some environments depicted in the film do not exist at the actual park. Yeah, like the underground, I think, tunnels, which seems like a cool idea. And again, if I saw a giant shark swimming through there, I don't think I'd run like those people did until the shark smashed and tried to get into the tunnels for some reason. This was the first Jaws with two sharks. There's a baby shark who just kind of does nothing and you feel bad for him. And I remember as a kid being like, oh no, that shark, wait, they like him. I don't understand. I thought sharks were bad. They're trying to help him. And then there's the big mama who comes later. It's very late. So I'm trying to hold back yawns. But I was trying to pick out the good. Another thing where I said this idea of this movie, there's a good idea to it. It's because, like, this movie's been done.
Leonard Maltin asked, is this an unofficial remake of Revenge of the Creature in 3D? Because I guess there's a film called Revenge of the Creature, which I think is a sequel to The Creature of the Black Lagoon, where they catch the creature and put him in captivity at a park, and it escapes. It's not even an original concept. So that's why I said, oh, this seems like a good idea. Well, guess what? It's because it was an idea that was taken and used poorly. Capricorn. What does that mean, Capricorn? You'd say, what the hell does that have to do with anything? Well, we know Cindy and Sandy, the famous dolphins from 40 years ago. The female dolphin called Sandy in the movie is actually a male dolphin, I can't speak, named Capricorn. Capricorn. I have a Boston accent. And guess what? Capricorn is still alive. And he's like 60 years old. And I guess you can still, I don't know if he's still, it says here 50, but then another trivia thing says 60, and you look him up. He's 60 years old as of April 2022, and you can still go to Discovery Cove and swim with him. He's like, yes, I'm still working. Please let me retire. Let me go off into the ocean. You know, SeaWorld has their own problems. You know, the whole thing with the killer whales. And I never watched that Blackfish. I just had no desire. I don't like seeing animals treated badly. Real animals. There goes that yawning again. There I go yawning again. The baby shark is much too large to be born recently inside the bark. Yeah, there's a lot of things in it that didn't make sense. Like the marine biologist woman's like, oh, the shark's going to love your bathing suit. But I think sharks are colorblind. Verna Fields. Okay. No, I'm not going to blame Lorraine Gary. Verna Fields, who edited the first film, recommended Joe Alves to direct this film. This was like, take what you like about Jaws. Get rid of just about everybody on the creative team. Joe Alves is there, but everyone else, I think, I don't even think the producers are the same. There's a different guy doing the music, even though Shark Theme credited to John Williams. They do mention Peter Benchley, but it's like inspired by Peter Benchley, or I forget what it was. It was a specific credit that was interesting. And I forget exactly what it was. Now, originally, this is one cool thing that they should have done. Originally, they pitched an idea. It was going to be called National Lampoon's Jaws 3 People Zero. And it was about a movie studio trying to make a second sequel to Jaws. It was supposed to be a parody. And Joe Dante was set to direct. And Spielberg shut that down and actually threatened to walk with his deal from Universal. And when Zanuck and Brown learned of the rejection, they quit the studio. So it's funny, this movie got a lot of people, the almost Jaws 3 got a lot of people annoyed or angry with the studio. I think the actual movie got a lot of people angry too. Roy Scheider says, yeah, they knew better than to ask me. He had to do Jaws 2 for... like as part of a contractual obligation, but he's like, yeah, I'm going to go do Blue Thunder. I'll see you later. So it's like, it just doesn't make any sense to me that wherever they are, they're in Florida. And now the Sharks, another Sharks there with the Brodies. Tying this to the Brodies was the stupidest idea. Tying it to Amity. That's where it's at. The freaking shark is in Amity. It deals with Brody because he's there. It deals with later the kids because they're in Amity too, a new shark. Okay, dumb that it happens again. But, you know, you could say maybe there's something about Amity, the water temperature, the type of fish there, they're delicious to sharks. I don't know. But then to say that the freaking Brodies are going to go to Florida and there's going to be another shark there. Oh, and then they're going to go to freaking Bermuda or Bahamas, come on, pretty mamas, they're going to follow you down there with Mario Van Peebles. Stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. The Sharks and the Brodies, like making them like Laurie Strode and Michael Myers, or Nancy and Freddy Krueger is dumb. It should have been Amity. It should always be Amity. It should have, it just would have, okay, would it have been repetitive to make it another shot comes to Amity? Yes. But guess what? It's repetitive for a reason. They're sequels. You're doing the same thing over and over. So let's do it again. Or don't have the Brodies. Just have another shark. And then you're like, well, wait, how do we deal with this? Let's call someone we know. I don't know. Then you try calling Hooper. You're not going to get them. But logically, that makes more sense for a sequel, for a story. Just sticking them someplace where all of a sudden, for no reason, and I guess that's what happened in the original, no reason a shark's there. But all of a sudden, there's a shark just coming into this lagoon. And I always thought, wait, they're tied to the ocean? Like, they have salt water. It kind of makes sense the way they did it. There's a gate, and they explain it. It's a lot of hullabaloo that I'm not even going to bother to yammer on about, because I want to get this podcast up before Jaugust 1st is over with. So I don't want to talk about this movie anymore. I watched it. I watched it for free on Tubi. I tweeted out a link to it. You can watch all four Jaws, including the only Jaws that matters, are on Tubi right now. Free to watch with commercials. The commercials aren't bad. It's not like a television edit where they fade out and then the commercial starts. It's just a commercial kind of kicks in between scenes. If you lose like a weird second, I feel like when it comes back, it kicks back to that second. So you don't really lose anything. Tubi does fine, you know, as far as watching free movies and sticking commercials in. I've seen some terrible ones. I think Crackle was the absolute worst. I tried to watch Attack the Block once on Crackle, and it was garbage. But this I could easily watch other movies, you know, on Tubi, and I have. Tubi or not Tubi, that's what I did. I did Tubi. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know it's late, and I'm tired, and I'm going to bed. So, my friends, another Jaugust is in the books. It's sad because they just keep getting dramatically, dramatically worse. But I told myself, you know what? I want to revisit these terrible Jaws movies. It almost makes me realize, my God, what a masterpiece the original Jaws is. You can't just stick a shark with a group of people and expect to it all to be good. It shows that you can't always strike gold. Sometimes you just strike shit. And that's it for Jaws 3D. I'm done. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast, for sticking with it. I want to tell you about a couple other podcasts I have you might be interested in. If you like Stranger Things and you like long form, I almost do like, it's almost like a Audible movie. I have a podcast called Stranger Danger, where I recap all the Stranger Things episodes, but I also talk about comic books and novels and all kinds of other things. And I'm going to be doing a special on all the actors. So check that out. You can find that. You can find everything we do at fans.experts.com. Find Movies, Find Spirits. We just put out a Parasite episode a little while ago. Coming soon is Almost Famous. So check that out as well. And Metallicast, my cousin's Metallica podcast. That's still going. And, you know, just about, there's all kinds of things over there. And if you stay, you know, connected to this podcast, you'll find everything I do here. Movie Month, Christmas Podcast, Sitcom All Ye Faithful, Marchie McFly, the Jaugust episodes. There's still Batman and Superman movies that I need to watch. All of that can be found right here, Geek Mentality. And that's the name of this podcast. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Geek Mentality. As I said, the Facebook page is fans.experts. The website is fans.experts.com. And I'm done. Jaugust is in the books. I'll see you. And if you're just a fan of Jaugust, well, guess what? And you're just like subscribed to the playlist on Spotify. Well, it's going to be about 364 days until you hear from me again. But until then, my friends, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And here is my theme song.
This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality's what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time, and I'm kinda handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.